Yes, how you doing, Pastor Pat Rangel, my co-host and friend, and all-around outdoorsman, fisherman, Mike Wood Sr. Mike, good morning to you. How are you doing? Thank you for the coffee.
I'm doing great. Another beautiful day the Lord gave us.
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Hey, I'm sorry you guys aren't out fishing with me and Mike, but we both have our... He actually has a fishing shirt on. I have a Rural King shirt on.
I like that.
I told you. You know what? I don't know if I told you this. So I told you guys I bought a bunch of those like Rural King shirts.
Thank you.
Because they were like, $5 or $6.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I think me and my wife were... I want to say hello to Jimmy Robbins, Mike Zimmerman, Pieto O'Brien, Michael Tucker. Oh, all right. Becca Law. Thank you guys for being on the show. Anyways, I went through Walmart the other day with my wife and bought a couple more T-shirts. They're called George T-shirts. And they were like $4.95. So I guess, I don't know why. I guess they're all coming in for the summer. I never really knew that, so... I've bought a lot of new T-shirts lately just to wear because I needed a new bunch of clothes to wear.
Yeah, you're losing that weight. You got to do something.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't wear what I used to wear. All right, let's do prayers and talk here a little bit. Please pray for my dear friend Amanda Phillips. She's struggling with her teen behavior with society. All right, Gloria Lawrence, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for your text this morning. My dear friend, Michelle Christian is on the show. Hey, do me a favor, guys. Caitlin Skirma, you're on the show, too. Share the show. And if I, excuse me, if my memory serves me correctly, I think Caitlin Skirma is getting very close to having her baby, I think. I'm not sure what her delivery date was, but I imagine she's getting close, I think.
She has some babies, doesn't she?
I think. All right, so let us know and send your prayer requests in. Mike, start the show with some prayer and we'll get going.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this beautiful and wonderful day you prepared for us. We can't give enough thanks and praises and glory for all you do in our lives. Looking after us, guiding us and protecting us and taking care of our children and letting us know what we're accountable for and be accountable for it as we try to be or have a better relationship with you. In your precious name we pray, amen, and have a great day.
Amen. Marcy Tolles is on the show. Your bride, Donna Woods, on the show. Paul Hall, you are on the show. All right.
Man, they're rolling this morning already, huh?
Right. So this morning, obviously, we're in one more week talking about water. Then we're going to talk about growing. Then we're going to go into a full summer of staying hooked with our fishing thing. But back to the water park, talking about rain today. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to do some prayer requests first, but we're going to get into talking about rain. So water is a sign of, let me mention a few things real quick. Water is obviously a sign of cleansing, Holy Spirit, you know, living water, all that stuff. Without it, rivers run dry. Life can't be sustained. There's no Holy Spirit. So let's just start our day. I think, who's a country music star? Luke Bryan says, rain is a good thing. So let's do that. Rain is a good thing. And maybe, well, I was going to say maybe we play that song at church, but it talks about making whiskey, so we don't want to make whiskey, do we?
Mm-mm.
Rain makes corn makes whiskey, I think is what he says. But I love the song, but I don't love whiskey. Anyways, rain is a good thing. Hey, send that around today. Hashtag rain is a good thing. I don't know, man. That just came to me this morning. Am I a genius?
You must be.
Must be.
I had a guy tell me one time down on a job, he said, I'm that close to being a dang genius.
I got to tell you, I apologize for doing the old clearing the throat thing. But my gosh, that must be a little bit of pollen out there. Anyways, Dennis River, prayers for good septic inspection. Amen to that. Been there, done that. Laurel Wyatt's on our show. Good morning to you, Laurel. I want to pray for your friend with the loss of my buddy Ed. We miss him. We love Ed and Tina and all her family. Missing Grandpa Ed. And all right, let's go down the list, and we'll just officially get it opened and start talking about some prayers. And I was on the prayer wall this morning, so you guys know where to put it, HBWT. And then / prayer wall is mm-hmm. where you can put your prayers. I really like that. I think it kind of is handy. Keeps them all in one space. Linda Harden's on. We got some of your prayer requests, Linda, so we'll go through them here in a minute. Dot Morris, Colleen Wilson, hello. Amanda Phillips, I guess she wants us to pray for them. Molly Trott, inspection. Mandy Garcia, we got some of your prayer requests too. All right, well, Caitlin Scrimmett is due May the 14th. Now, did you tell me when Mother's Day is? Why don't I know this? Guys are going to have to help me. Charlene Stouter's on the show. Good morning. Donna Shadrowski is on the show. Good morning to all. Why don't we know when Mother's Day is? We better figure it out.
What Sunday is it? May.
I think it's the second Sunday. So, anyways,
changes all
hey, time. One more thing. I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but I got a lot on my mind this morning. Did you guys get your garden in? I got to get going on my garden. There, Glory Lawrence straightened us out, 5/12, so that would be second yep. Weekend. Sue Davidson, you're on the show. I want to say hello to you and Terry. Hello, hello, hello. I love that song by Lionel Richie. Mm-hmm. Hello. Is it me you're looking for? You don't want me saying that. Prayers for the Tucker household. They have a house full of sick kids. Man, when they get sick over there, that's like a baseball team. I think they got 8 or 9 over there. No garden yet, Mandy Garcia. I'm officially a slacker.
Yes,
no. I don't think you're a slacker if you're still in April. Mike is pro-May, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I have launched one in April, and I don't know that it's a good idea. I think I'm more of Mike's mindset now.
Well, look how good a great garden you had last year.
Did I put it in May or did I put it in April?
I believe so, because it really came up nice.
But don't you get a little anxious while you're out there looking? You're like, man, I ought to be doing something.
Yeah, but then like the last couple of days, get down in the 40s, you know. That.
Man, it did get cold.
I mean, not enough to freeze them, but, it could stunt the growth of them.
Yeah. Anyways, I got to get some more dirt in mind.
I need some dirt.
I got a raised box. I'm going to tell you about. Let's just do a little gardening. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I need to talk about gardening. I got to get it at least.
That's about watering.
Water. I at least need to get it off my chest. My garden doesn't look that good. I'm going to be honest up front. And I got a raised bed, and I got a fence around. I got to put my door back up. I think the deer knocked it down. I got the manure in there. I'm sure there's good. I need more dirt, and I got a pile of dirt down at the bottom of the hill, but I think it's got a lot of weeds in it. I may have to sift that, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I got mesh on the bottom so no moles can dig up through it
mm-hmm.
and fence around it. So I'm doing okay. I just wanted to get that off my chest. How about you? You doing buckets this year again? Or are you going to try
I
something?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
You need to do a little raised bed. So do a little raised bed with yours. Do cinder blocks. It's totally easy. Make sure you put down some mesh so nothing can get under and start eating it up, and then put a fence around it. Do yourself a favor. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, man, you got a lot of squirrels over there.
Yeah,
I mean, so if you're in an older subdivision like Mike's in, do you have the squirrel problem? You probably have more squirrels than I do. I got a lot of deer, but I don't have a whole lot of squirrels. I do.
Man,
but
things are...
Yours are everywhere.
Oh, I'll tell you, they're crazy.
They're everywhere. So let's see. Let's talk garden for a minute, then we'll move on, I promise. We'll accelerate this Bible study. But I got to get the gardening off my mind. I got to speak about it. And then maybe it's a therapy session this morning. It's garden therapy.
That's it. Garden does do that for you.
It's garden therapy by the pond. All right, let's see what everybody says. And again, I apologize with my... all right, Don Shadrowski says, we have sweet potato waiting to grow roots. We'll put that in a big pot and grow many. Let's see. We're going to go... I'm going to read off of this right here, so bear with me if I'm not looking up.
Wow, look at
that. Ooh, there's lots. Well, I messed that up, didn't I?
You'll get it back.
I'll get it back? All right.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to start. Manny Garcia's came back first. I have to lay chicken wire everywhere I plant so the squirrels and birds don't eat my seeds. Oh, so Mandy's being brave starting out of seeds. I can't do seeds anymore. I'm over the seeds.
Well, you know.
Are you?
Yeah.
Huh? J.D. Brock's on. I'll bet he's got a raised bed garden. let's get into... Guys, stay with me here. I'm trying to get prepared. I'm trying to get prepared. Tim Parrish says, good morning. Bought bulbs early. Planning on, let's see, starting growing. I had to put them in planters. Wow, everybody's got a squirrel population. I'll tell you what, Berger dispatches them. He's got a pellet gun and dispatches them. They're everywhere at his house.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He said they, in some of your guys' subdivisions, they're eating your siding and eating your trash cans.
Oh, yeah, they try to get in the trash cans. They finally came up with a better lid on those, I believe.
They made a metal one.
Yeah.
From somebody who has a farm, I'll just be honest with you. All plastic is at my farm is dinner.
Yeah.
It's dinner. You didn't bring anything in a plastic jug out there, a plastic thing, and act like you're going to hide it from livestock or animals or critters. It's not going to happen. It has to be old school galvanized trash can.
Yeah.
That clang and clatter.
Yeah, you can do anything.
And you can tie the lid down on them, and they cannot get in them. Gary got mine planted yesterday. Gary is pretty much Johnny on the spot. Jeanette Atkinson said hello. Jeff Smith says, please pray for Sharon Kuhn, who's been in the hospital rehab for 6 weeks. We will. We'll pray for that, Jeff. Dennis Shriver's wife started planting our church greenhouse in Paris. All right. A co-worker that had a devastating yesterday, praying for peace and comfort for Dennis Shriver. All right. I'm officially a slacker. All right, I think everybody's got their gardening tips and stuff out. Do you have any, Mike, who has done the... You've done the bucket, and you sound like you were kind of disappointed in that last year, were you?
Yes, I was, but I'll tell you what I found out. There's a flower. Keep the tear squirrels and rabbits from getting around your garden.
Herman Witt says farmer's market's the way to go. Support your local farmer. Let them do it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Robbins says, half the fun. Sit on the back deck in the evening with a sweet glass of tea and pellet gun for the squirrels. So there's Jimmy Robbins and Mike Berger's remedy. Mike acts like if he didn't, I have to lay chicken wire, Mandy says. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said before, I apologize for hacking so much. Some of them older subdivisions have a lot of squirrels because the trees are so big.
Mm-hmm.
Massive. Mike has massive, massive trees in your subdivision.
Yeah.
Those things have been there for 100 years.
They must have been there.
In Squirrel City. All right. We've said enough of that. We got to get going. Have we touched on it? I feel complete now. Thank you guys for the counseling session. All right, let's get into prayers. We got your guys. We're going to prayer wall. Write them or send them to me. Let's start on the prayer wall. And the first one is, I think it's Aunt Jen. Aunt Jen wants to pray for her nephew James. Also wants to pray for her cousin Vicky. Phil Chavez wants to continue to pray for his mom Lorraine. Jerry Ford wants to pray for Gary Conley. He's having health issues and I think struggling with cancer. Brother Gary, we love you, brother. We're praying for you. Linda Harden. All right, Linda Harden, I know, needs prayers for Mike Shea, and that's actually a praise. I think he's getting healed of his cancer. Her friend Juanita and her mom. And Linda, help me. There was one other on there. I apologize. Oh, Chris Drainer, your nephew, with his arm. That car fell on his arm. Terry Bjork wants to pray for Patty Preston, Joyce Bubeck, for her sister-in-law. Mandy Garcia, about her calling. Spend more time serving the Lord. That's awesome. And she wants to pray for her friend Kenny and Ronnie. And Jolena. That's a great name, Jolena. Mm-hmm. Janet Hunt wants to pray for her friend Teresa Leos. And we got an anonymous prayer for gas bill. And Aunt Jen wants to pray for Elizabeth and Randy's friend, Rose. We're praying for her last night. Jeannie Law, we're praying for her daughter, Donna Boat, and friend Mark Cox, and her prays for her granddaughter, Alyssa. Mm-hmm. Nora Peters, we're praying for you and your situation. We know what's going on there. And Gary Thrasher for healing. That's Barb Thrasher's son, and her son-in-law, Mike Chapman, or Scott Chapman, with his foot. Carrie wants prayers for Charles, who had a stroke. Gwen Shields, thank you for being at service, seeing you and Midge there Sunday. Praying for her son, Luke, with stage 4 kidney disease. Praying for Karen Lonning this morning. I'm praising God. I got to see Daddy-O. He looks like he's really doing great. Back on his bike and ready to roll. Mary Case, praying for son Charles. Z's praying for his family, all the precious people. And I think him and his family are doing a visit here shortly with some people out of town. Donna Shadrowski says, she's bringing my wife some perennials. All right. I don't know where we're going to be able to plant perennials without them deer getting to it. But Roxanne Gladi for her children. Heather Tabor's nice to see you. Aaron and Nikki, we're praying for you. We're praying for the Berger family with the loss of their dad. And Franny, as they mourn the loss of her mother as well. I don't know of any other prayer requests, Mike, than that. But guys, continue to bring them up. Forrester, my buddy Scott Forrester, I personally do not need any prayers for me. Things are going great. I just want all the prayers to go out to all the people that need it. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. God bless you and your family. Wonderful. One of the kindest families we know. Thank you, Scott and Melissa, and your wonderful kids. They're great kids. I love them. And I'll bet Melissa would do a garden. I don't know if Scott would do a garden, but I know Melissa probably would. Mike, take it away, buddy. Pray for him.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to spread your word and gospel, and to ask for healing and comfort and strength and for what anyone's going through. We know you can handle it, and we give it to you all the time, and we are just like right now, I'd just like to thank you and praise you and give you the glory. We ask you continue to look after everyone and help those in need, and also, dear Lord, just thank you for dying on the cross for our salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Paul Hall. He's talking about praying for Israel, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pray for Israel. We're standing with Israel. This church stands with Israel. We got to actually have an Israeli flag right behind us. You guys know the deal. They're God's chosen people. We're standing with them. That's all there's to it. It's not open for debate. That's the way it is. And anybody that doesn't stand with them doesn't love God. So did I get that out of the way?
Yes, you did. That's right.
I don't want to get myself. I can't get worked up today, can I?
No, we don't.
Okay. I'll get totally worked up if we go there. And I'm not sure that I'm not going to go there anyways. But I just found out two of the biggest Christian universities have been fined for something. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a federal government or local government that fined them. It was some unbelievable amount. So I think I heard like $37 million apiece. I don't know. Doesn't sound like justice to me. But anyways, we're talking about rain, talking about water. We got to roll on with our study. Now, If you haven't been at church in a while, we're finishing up our study on water. Then we're talking about growth. Then we're going to be talking all summer long about being hooked or staying hooked. I call it the stick around summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to decorate our sanctuaries with actual fishing poles and nets and boats, all kinds of stuff.
Mm.
I didn't show you that fishing boat that Jason dropped off, did I?
Mm.
It's a two-person Pelican with rotating seats on it.
Wow, that's nice.
Oh, it makes me want to get in this pond back here and go and fish for some largemouth.
Yeah.
Are you guys catching any fish anywhere? Yes, Scott, I wanted to tell you. We watched a movie last night. Vicky, you have to tell everybody what it was. I got to be honest with you. There's a couple of words in there, man. There was, man. Mark Moss, love you, buddy. God bless you. Blessed this week with a new grandson. Praise God. Nothing better than celebrating life. But anyways, it was about this girl that was in the Marines, and she was over in a Ramada, okay. Over in the Middle East. And her and her dog would sniff out bombs.
Uh-huh.
And she ended up adopting the dog, and it reminded me of Scott's big dog, just monster-sized dog. Anyways, Linda Harden says, thank you for all the prayers for my family and friends, nephews, and surgery for the third time. All right, we're going to keep it up. Mike, so water is depicted in the Bible for the most part, primarily, a large part, as a blessing, mm-hmm. and a way of being refreshment. But it also can be a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, and we have that in Genesis chapter 7 and chapter 8. Is there anything you wanted to read out of that? Do you want to just talk about it? You want to?
You want to
read a little bit of it?
Sure.
And then we'll talk about it.
Genesis 7.
Yeah. Just we're going to read a little bit. You guys know
what
the story.
Do you want to start on 8 or?
Start on chapter 7. 7 verse 1.
Okay. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all your house into the ark. For you have I seen righteousness before
me. Can I stop you?
In this generation, yes.
You didn't get very far. My wife doesn't think I had to stop you.
Why?
I don't know. She thinks I'm being rude.
Well, you know what?
I'm trying not to be
rude. If you don't say it, you won't remember.
I won't. I'm sorry. She's been with me for a long time. She ought to know I'm not perfect. If I don't stop them, I'm never going to be able to remember.
Right. I mean, I do the same thing. People think I'm Donna. She says, man, you interrupt me. I wasn't finished, and I said,
our memories aren't long enough to remember that whole thing.
If I got something, I better say it then.
All right, so it's a health issue. If we don't say it, it could mentally stifle us. So God's calling the family into the ark. Is that not what you said?
Yes.
Okay. And he calls them into the ark because judgment's getting ready to happen. Why is judgment coming? Well, judgment's getting ready to come because nobody wanted to hear from the word, hear from God. So he said, well, human beings have gotten so wicked and so bad, I'm just going to flood the whole earth. So rain here is a form of judgment. Everybody inside the ark is safe, and everybody inside in God's church or his ark will be safe against judgment too. And it won't be a flood of water. Mm. It'll be a flood of fire.
Absolutely.
And then, are we going to talk about the rainbow in the sky now, or do you want to read any more?
Yeah,
go ahead and read just a fuzz more, and then I'll stop you.
Well, that's a talk there, too, about Noah's faith.
Amen.
Yeah, building that ark.
Amen.
And of every clean beast you shall take it to you by the seven, the male and the female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, and the male and his female. A fowl also of the air by the seven male and females to keep seeds alive upon the face of all earth. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded. This is the second time that the Holy Spirit through Moses speaks of Noah's obedience.
My wife told me not to ruin the whole movie. I was talking about, hello, don't ruin the movie. True story. So it's a true story. So she, it's a good, and I got to send out a disclaimer.
Well, what's the name?
Yeah, Big, you got to tell us the name of the movie. It's a girl's name, I think. And I got to let you know ahead of time for all you guys that are listening to this recommendation. I was way over shutting the movie off because they used JC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was extremely hard for me, and God knows my heart. The movie was pretty good. You know, it was pretty dang good. But, man, I just struggle with that hard, and I'm trying to, and I don't want to rationalize it, but I don't know. It was just, you know, the storyline's good and had some good content in it. So you have to use your judgment. I mean, I just so there it is. It's a great story, but I wish they just, I don't know why people had to use JC.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's get back to I wanted to.
We need to do number 8. That's one.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Number 8, it says, a clean beast and a beast that are not clean and a fowl and everything that creeps upon the earth. Mm-hmm. So that means everything.
Right.
Yeah. And we'll get them in there.
Mm-hmm. Get them in there so there's, and then when they come out, they are to be blessed and multiply. Let's go to chapter 9. Let's go to chapter 9. I'm going to do this real quick, and then we're going to move on and talk a little bit more about rain. You guys need to interject here. Gloria's like, man, I hate when they use those words. I struggle with that, man. And I don't want to be such a prude that I can't watch a dang movie. But I don't know. I mean, and I don't want to move the line or blur the line. But, man, I just, anyways. All right. Go to chapter 9 in Genesis. Let's read. I want to talk about this rainbow just a little bit and make sure that you guys understand what it's about. And I apologize. I put my notes on my phone, which I never really hardly do. Let me read this. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea, into your hand they will be delivered. So that means we are to have dominion over these animals, and I've talked about that many times.
Okay.
Slide down, Mike, to 9:12.
You know what? Every time you see that rainbow, it's supposed to remind you of the covenant with God on earth.
Yeah. So slide down to 9:12, and it says, and God said, this is a sign of the covenant. A covenant is an agreement that I make between you and I and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set a bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. I will bring the clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds. And I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of flesh, and all the waters shall never again become a flood to all, destroy all flesh. And when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature and all flesh that is on the earth. Stop.
Mm.
So when that rain comes, that's automatic. God puts that in there. I shouldn't say automatic. It has to be certain predicaments for that rainbow to come up. But when it comes up, it's a reminder that God's never going to flood the earth again. It's a covenant. It's agreement. About this time, he destroyed the whole earth. He mm-hmm. won't do it again. He loves his people. And that's what the rainbow truly means. Now, when people take stuff out of the Bible and they distort it to make it their logo or whatever, that's on them. But I just wanted to tell you what the true meaning of the rainbow was. So do you have anything you'd like to enlighten the crowd with this morning, dear sir?
Yeah, let's see. Say
9:12.
Okay, 13. The whole creation rests as to exemption from a second on an eternal stability of God's covenant, in which the bow is taken. So you know, every time you know, you say the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? At the end of the rainbow, means exactly what you just said.
That's right.
It'll never be flooded again.
It's a promise, and I think it's something that me and you should make sure that we're looking at. And I know you guys know this, but we need to grow in Christ. So when you're getting other things hammered and kind of shoved down your throat, so to speak, or pushed on you, or pressed on you, you need to fight back. You don't need to fight back necessarily, because we know these things in the Bible, but we need to live them out and know what the rainbow really means. The rainbow is a promise from God. And when people take it, you know, some people paint it in their bedrooms for kids and it's a good story and all that's fine, and other people take it and contort it and use it for other things. You just need to remember that it's God's promise to us. Okay, so take that, learn from it, and then build off of what it really means. It doesn't mean, you know, you've got to fill your life with sarcasm and snarkiness or anything. It just means that you know what it means, and that's God's promise to us. And let's be honest, when we're reminded of God's promises for his people, we become a little stronger.
And you know what else? That rainbow after the storm.
Yeah.
You have that rainbow come up, and you know it's over.
Yeah.
God bless you again. Huh?
I agree with that.
And
that's why I think, let me say this before I forget. Symbolism and ceremonies don't change the heart. It changes the conscious.
Mm-hmm.
So when I don't know if we're going to get there into the baptismal waters today. That's all the way at the end. I sent you, that's 1 Peter talking about clearing the good conscience. So, yeah, we'll move on to that. But yeah, so the only thing that can clear the heart is God's Holy Spirit.
Right.
So it may give
it
may give you a clear conscience when you see the rainbow or you see the baptismal waters. But that doesn't change the heart. It's just soothing your conscience, knowing that God has an agreement with you. And when you see the baptismal waters, it doesn't remove dirt or anything. What it removes is the sin that's counted against you because of the blood that was spilled.
Mm-hmm.
So the water doesn't save you. It's a reminder. It's a symbol of your new life. Say that with me, guys, new life. So when you get into baptismal waters, when you come out of them, it means new life.
Right.
And when you read 1 Peter chapter 3, some people are going to think that baptism saves you. It doesn't save you. If you read the full verse, you'll find out that what it does is reminds your conscience of what Christ did, and when you come out of the waters, you're born again.
Amen.
And I know I said kind of a mouthful there, and that's actually supposed to be the end of our study, but I wanted to say it because I had to get it off my chest.
Amen. Well, you know,
it's in there. There's a lot going on.
Right in.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, and I apologize that I started and then jumped all the way to the bottom of my study, but I really need to say that, and maybe if that's you that's out there that needed to hear it, that's from God. I just felt like I need to say it. All right. So rain.
The first thing is that.
Let's go to, and I could get into 1 Kings. I don't think we got that kind of time. Do we got time? We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. No, let's don't do that. All right, let's go. Let's just go into baptismal waters. Let's go into Romans chapter 6. All right?
All right.
Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. So we're kind of sliding officially over to, and there's a lot of stuff I got here, guys, out of Kings. I just don't think we got that kind of time. But we'll end up back in 1 Peter chapter 3. So right now, Mike is going to Romans 6, and he's going to read verses 3 and 4. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. When you got that,
fire away. All right. Romans what?
6? 6, verses 3 and 4.
Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Plainly says that this baptism into Christ, and not water, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into his death, and that, like as Christians, was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We died with him, buried with him, and his resurrection was our resurrection in the newness of life.
All right, so I want to slow walk this. So everybody gather together. Let's settle in to Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. This is something that you're going to need to know. So this is really, really good Bible study stuff. I'm going to break this down for you, all right? So when the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Rome, he starts out by saying, what shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? So there's a little sarcasm here. He said, so should we really test God's grace? Grace is favor.
Mm-hmm.
And should we keep sinning so we can show everybody how good his grace is? Absolutely not, he's going to tell you. Absolutely not. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So he's saying, if you've died to sin, don't live in it anymore. Doesn't matter what your past is. Don't matter what your past is. Say that with me. It doesn't matter what your past is. Don't live in it anymore. Watch this. Move on. Move on. Move on from sin. So how do we know that we're saved? How do we know that we're saved? How do people know that we're saved? Well, they know it by the way we walk and the way we talk and the way we act. But there needs to be that declaration and proclamation that you have been saved. We know that as baptism.
Mm-hmm.
It's the New Testament circumcision, which used to be in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Now the New Testament circumcision is baptism. It's the showing of the old flesh dying off and the new self coming forward.
Right.
And ask me to explain, and then I will.
Tell me about it.
All right, here we go. Stay with me. So we're going to slide down into verse 3. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You go, I know, that's a little confusing. Baptized there means being involved in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Stay with me. Don't get confused. Don't have somebody come and give you some mumbo jumbo. Baptized, when you got born again, you were baptized into Christ by his Holy Spirit. Baptized means fully involved with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Completely submersed, completely overwhelmed, and completely sealed. There you go. That's the first part of that. Then he moves over into verse 4. Now, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So the second part of that is the actual physical baptism that we are to do to let everyone know that we are born again. We're born again Christians. And that's a public profession that we should share with as many people as possible by getting baptized at your church or in the river or wherever. Mike, do you have anything that you'd like to add to that before I move on?
Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 17, it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And with the wisdom of the words, let the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
And where is that at? I'm not.
1 Corinthians
7.
1 Corinthians 17.
7:17?
1 Corinthians.
Oh, 1:17. My bad. I'm sorry. Okay. So this is the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul telling the church in Corinth that baptism is important, but it's not as important as being saved.
Mm.
Paul said he didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So he says the first thing is to make sure that you're telling people the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And whether you ever baptize somebody or not, hopefully one day you will, but if you don't, it's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What's really important is, Mike, is that you lead someone to Jesus. Yeah. Tell somebody about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Tell somebody about his saving grace. Amen?
Amen to that for sure.
Okay. And then can I fast forward to 1 Peter, Mike?
Yes.
Because there's denominations out there. There's denominations out there that use this to trick you into thinking that you have to be baptized to be in heaven. Well, we know that's not true, because if symbolism could save you, I could just wear this cross. You guys didn't say anything about my cross. My wife just bought this for me. You think it's pretty nice?
That's very nice.
Well, if symbolism could save you, all I'd have to do is have this cross on and I'd be saved. If symbolism, then all you'd have to do is look at the rainbow. Then the symbolism, all you'd have to do is light a candle. Symbolism, then all I'd have to do is baptize or sprinkle or whatever. All symbolism does, or I'd take the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal, guys. Symbolism, how do we say this? What does symbolism do? Symbolism gives us a recollection and maybe cools our conscience. Can I say that? Is that biblical? I've never said that before. Symbolism doesn't save you. Rituals don't save you. Am I onto something yet?
Yes, you are.
Symbolism, I'm going to say, I've never said this. Symbolism just kind of cools your conscience. I need to say all this because I'm getting ready to get into 1 Peter chapter 3, and some denominations live and die on this. Their whole church lives and dies on this scripture. And I'm gonna help you out with it. And remember, when we want to know how God wants us to live and how God speaks, you have to keep the whole Bible in context. And we know that God never changes. So let's read this. Let's talk about this. And you guys tell me what you think what symbolism is. Tell me, and then maybe you can educate me on what symbolism is. You know, these rituals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think there's anything bad in religion, so to speak, just as long as your religion's not your God. There's nothing wrong with you being...
I think a lot of the symbolism kind of keeps from reminds you that...
Okay, it's a reminder.
...that you're a Christian and you shouldn't be acting that way.
Okay.
Like if you get all mad and get upset and you hear you got a nice cross on or...
Oh, Lord, I'm going to
love Jesus.
Thank you. Don't get mad.
Yeah.
I'm gonna type that in. Don't get mad. So Mike says if I'm out here and I go on a rant and I look inside my TV screen there, I can look and go, well, hey, you're sporting a cross. Huh?
Yeah.
You're flying a cross and then you're acting like a crazy person.
Yeah, you know what?
You like crazy people, Huh?
I like crazy people, but I don't like being as crazy as I once was.
No. All right, let's get into it because you guys are wanting to know what the deal is here. And I think it's, isn't it 1 Peter 3:21?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see. How do I approach this? Let's go. I'm going to start at 1 Peter 3:8. I'm going to start way back there because I don't want to miss anything, okay?
Uh-huh.
1 Peter 3:8. Guys, stay with me. And for all your friends who are caught up in bad theology, Pastor Pat and Mike are going to correct it biblically for you today. Here we go. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or rivaling for rivaling. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you obtain a blessing for whoever desires to love life and see good days. Let him keep his tongue from evil. All right, so it says, don't be nasty to people. All right? Don't speak deceit. I'm in verse 11 now, 1 Peter 3:11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. So I'm supposed to do good. Okay, that sounds good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Find out a place where there's peace. Go after it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Listen, Mike, the prayers of the righteous is what God hears. The prayers of the righteous is what God hears. So when you're in a right standing with the Lord, His ear is attentive to what you're saying. Take your petition to the Lord. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's see what's going on. Manny Garcia says symbolism is a reminder of representation of the faith. All right, I like that. Vicki Ehring says her mom cussed four times. All right. Yeah, her mom did cuss. She's talking about on that movie. All right, we're getting close. Stay with me. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. So, we're supposed to let people know.
Mm-hmm.
Yet do it with gentleness and respect. That's what I said. Nobody wants you to be loud and obnoxious. You're supposed to approach these people with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience. Now we're getting on to something. Having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who rival your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Christ also, let's see what it says. Now we're getting into it. Stay with me, all you people that have bad theology friends. For Christ also suffered, how many times for sin? Once for sin. Mm-hmm. I talked about it last week. When you tap the rock twice, you're putting Christ back on the cross. The righteous, he suffered for sins, the righteous and the unrighteous, that they might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Okay, talked about that too. In which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were safely brought through the water. All right, so this water here, remember, is a sign of judgment. So the water there is a sign of judgment. The eight righteous people were in the Ark of the Covenant. They were safe. People outside were going to perish by the water. Go ahead.
Yeah, this doesn't refer to being saved from sin. They were saved from drowning in the flood.
It's very clear. Is anybody confused right now? Everybody tune in. Your friends that have bad theology and they're stuck in bad religion, they're going to come after you and say that You Christ saves you, but you're also going to need some symbolism to get saved. That's a very dangerous theology. Christ died once and for all. We read that lead up.
Yeah.
And he died for the righteous, and he hears the prayers of a righteous. But these people are getting your friends that got bad theology are getting ready to tell you that you also need to be baptized. That's dangerous to think that some form of symbolism, that by getting wet, you're going to somehow help God with his salvation plan. That's a dangerous theology, thinking that if you get wet, somehow you become holier.
Yeah.
That's, guys, this is easy. This is anybody that's been saved for 2 or 3 months is going to be able to take this apart. Not that we want to take it apart, but it's very important that you guys understand that it's only by grace you have been saved, through the love of Jesus Christ. And it's not by your own doing, but it's by the power of God, so that no man should boast. So it's important to know. So here it is. All right, we're here. Here's the big ending to the study today. Verse 20. Because the formerly did not obey, and when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Watch this. Now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal. So watch this. As an appeal to God for a good conscience.
Mm.
Through the, and what is it through? the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
Who has once gone into heaven, is at the right hand of God with the angels, the authorities, and the powers that have subjected to him. Let's talk about this just for a second. Nowhere in the Bible does symbolism save you. You know, whether it's, regardless, you go through the Old Testament or New Testament, that symbolism saves you. A symbolism is a reminder of what Christ did for you, and that the baptism is telling you and telling the world that I have a clear conscience because I've given my life to Jesus. And when I rise out of the water, I'm showing everybody I have a new life in Christ. It's symbolic of what Christ spiritually did in my heart. You were going to add? No? Okay. All right. So just remember, symbolism doesn't save. It may clear your conscience. And I don't mean it clears your conscience by the act. It just, say this with me, it reminds us. Like Roxanne Galati said, whether it's a bumper sticker or, like you said, whether it's a necklace, it's a reminder I'm a Christian. And I actually, wearing a cross for that reason would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just jewelry. If you wear a wristband, that would be good.
Might keep you from.
It might keep you from, keep your witness together.
Amen. Yeah.
And you remember when they put those armbands around everybody? What would Jesus do? I thought that was symbolic. You asked me, is there any saving grace in wearing a bracelet? Absolutely not. It's foolish and nonsense to think that a bracelet's going to save me or a necklace is going to save me. This is a reminder that I'm a Christian. I'm blessed. I got several crosses, and they have a lot of meaning to me. I wear this because I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, and I think it's symbolic of I love Jesus.
Amen to that.
And I think also symbolism is good when you refrain from using profanity and acting out in the way.
I think wearing that cross, if you start that's going to say, hey, you know, like I say, would the Lord do that?
Yeah, I just think.
Approve of that?
I think symbol.
Your wife had a question up there.
All right, let's see what it is. Vicky said, look, Jimmy Robbins says, imagine meeting God and him saying, man, you did so well, and I'm so proud, but you didn't get dipped in water, so you can't come into my heaven. Yeah. Let's see, Mandy, what does she wear? I wear symbolic attire because it stirs up conversation while I'm out in the world. That's great. She does. Yeah. And actually, she told me, I think she said she is going to seminary for something. I can't remember what it was that she was wanting to get into, but she's really, really studying the Word. So praise God for that. Marcy Tola says, babies are pure. How does a baby confess their sins and get baptized?
Okay, I got an answer.
Yes.
I believe babies and those that are, they go to heaven because they hadn't had a chance. They're not accountable.
Yeah, they don't understand what sin is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't understand what sin is, and so they go to heaven.
Yeah.
Because they don't know, because the Lord made it so that, hey.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Huh?
That's right.
So
you have to, and that's why I tell everybody as of lately here with this water thing going on, mm-hmm. you know, about being watered or whatever. You need to understand when you look at the man in the mirror, as me and Mike can see on our TV screen. We can both look at the men that are staring back at us. One's me and one's Mike. Obviously, I can look at that guy and say, "There's nothing inside that guy that's good." I mean, you know that guy in the yeah. mirror that's got the Bass Pro Shop shirt on. You know who he is,
yeah.
And I know the guy who I am. I'm looking at him. I know who he is. There's no way you couldn't dip me in the river enough times.
Yeah.
And then me come up and go, oh, okay, well, it looks like I'm doing pretty good now. No, you're not. Quit lying to yourself. Why is the world lying to everybody? Why are we lying and telling everybody you're doing good? Why do we meet in these big, large groups all over college campuses and all over the streets of the city and tell everybody how good you are? If you're good, you don't need to tell anybody. Jesus says, who's good but the Father?
Amen.
We're running around in these groups, people. They're getting funded to run around in these groups, getting free college, and they're on campuses talking about how good each other is. Mm. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If you was good, Jesus wouldn't need to die. Look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. There's nothing good in there, and I'm not running you down or running me down. I'm being brutally honest. And I'll be real honest with you lately. To me, it's a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being honest with you. My wife would tell you, I don't know that I'm scared much of anything. But when you look at the man in the mirror, it's a little scary thinking that you think there's something inside of you that is good enough to get into heaven. That's scary.
Yeah. One way and only way is through Jesus Christ.
You better find a way to get into heaven. And the only thing I read in the Bible is it's going to be through Christ.
Amen.
So anyways, we finally worked our way to the end of the show.
Yes.
Did we help anybody out today?
Help me out.
You helped me out too. Mike's my best buddy. He always helps me. So anyways, let us know how you like the show. Share the show, talking about water, talking about, we kind of started out with water being judgment in Genesis, and how we might, man, the show went quick today.
It did, didn't it?
Then the guys out there must have been talking the whole time. But anyways, we're done with the show. I thought it was pretty good. And let's see, Jimmy said he's been helped. Well, I'm glad one person out of the whole bunch was helped. Molly Trout, you're on. I want to thank you. Glory Lawrence, you're awesome. Paul Hall, you always help me. Good, good, good. I'm so grateful that Jesus said, I don't have to feel shame. I agree with you, Mandy. But no reason. There's no shame in your game. No shame in our game either, yeah. Right, guys? Well, I thank you that me and Mike get to help a few people. You guys help us, man. If you guys weren't there, we wouldn't be here. So remember to tell somebody about Jesus today. Mike, finish us off with some prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much. We can't give you enough praise and glory and love for you, for all you've done in our lives and continue doing in our lives as we ask you to protect our families, to heal us, to have us be more kind to someone, be nice to someone. Hey, maybe the thing you being nice or doing for somebody is a prayer somebody's been praying.
Oh,
you might have just helped them, Lord, through that prayer. We ask you continue to bless half Bible's travel and everyone on the show and everyone out there listening. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen and amen. Hey, guys, this is Pastor Ben. I want to remind you of a couple of things. Invite somebody to church this weekend. Tell them about half Bible. Tell them about Jesus, and if they need to get on our prayer on our phone blast,
mm-hmm.
Call the office, get your friend's number on the phone blast so they'll be updated on things to come, and don't forget to buy your ticket for boxing. This Friday night. Mike will be there with a smile on his face telling everybody about Jesus, as I will too, and remember two things. Jesus loves you, and I love you.
Have a great day in the Lord.
Have a great day in the Lord, guys. We love you. See you later.